Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Podcast. I am Casey, writer, podcaster for the website. I am with the man, the myth, the millennial, Jimmy LaFakis, writer, photographer, do everything on Butler campus for the Butler Collegian. My man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Casey. Thanks for having me out today.
I know it's, you know, there's obviously the Big Ten tournament happened, but we don't really care because today is Carson Edwards Day. And we've had you on the podcast before, and while you write for Butler and go to Butler and cover Butler, you have a special connection with Carson Edwards. If you want to just give a little bit of background on that before we get started.
Absolutely. So one thing that you've done a great job of publicizing is that he went to Joey Burton, a basketball skills trainer, a.k.a. just the man. So he worked out with him over the summer. And I was able to go to three of his workouts with Carson. And one time, I actually traveled to the Whitestown, Zionsville area. So basically, wherever this man was working out, I was going to be there, provide content, and actually rebounded for him, too. So there I go, being athletic.
Yeah, I say, if you want, like, behind-the-scenes footage, you've got some really great photos and images and videos that you break out. Go ahead and give you a follow it. Is it JJLII30?
You got it. And
right. We really need to work on this. I know I said this time, but
yeah,
that's,
and then
a
your people said absurd Twitter handle. And yeah. I was reading that during the Crossroads game and I just couldn't stop laughing both at how the game was going and that tweet, because like we were talking about before we hopped on here, my team had 19 points at halftime. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm very happy that went exactly the way we thought it might.
I remember we were sitting at Scotty's at Butler and you were like, we'll beat you. I think we'll beat you.
Everyone gets a call right every now and again. But our exciting news, Carson Edwards is an All-American. This is the second year in a row for Purdue to have a sophomore pretty much guarantee a spot up in the rafters with their jersey. And it came out that the USA Sports All-American team had him as their second team. And then the Sporting News, which is one of the four that is used to create the consensus All-American teams, had Carson as on their third team. And I have to ask, because as a freshman, he was really up and down, and you saw him through the summer, you saw him work out. Did you think this was possible this year?
I thought he was going to make a special improvement, but he's gone an extra leap that I could not have anticipated. The way he moves, how explosive he is, and what Joey worked on with him was controlling the pace, and you have seen it time and time again. I mean, for a sophomore to come out in a Big Ten atmosphere environment, I know Illinois' record wasn't that good, but, I mean, he just went out and he scored 40 points and did it with such killer efficiency. I mean, nobody could have seen that coming.
He
not even me.
40 easily.
Easily.
Like, yeah, it was... we always knew the physical tools were there. You could tell last year, most games, he was the best athlete on the court. He is so quick and surprisingly strong for his frame. But just the mental development. Last year, his offensive rating was 94. That is not good. He turned over the ball a lot, 18% turnover rate, and he didn't shoot the ball well. From three, it was 34%, which isn't terrible, but, you know, that's definitely not a marksman. But and you expect incremental improvements, but the fact that he was able to not only improve that much physically and with skill and mental is just, it's beyond comprehension almost. It's very similar to how Biggie developed his sophomore year. And I just, how much did you see during the, because you saw him through the year as well, correct?
Yes, I made a point to watch a lot of Purdue games this season.
And it really seemed, there was, it just started clicking about, I want to say late December. At the start of the new year is when he really started to find his rhythm, I think,
yep.
And kind of take over the reins. Just how much of what you've seen change is just based off of that work he's putting in extra?
Well, first off, I mean, you go to Joey Burton, your game's going to go to another level. And that, you know, has proven itself with some guys across the country, the Big Ten guys and Big East guys. So that's number one. Number two, Carson came to Joey with goals. He said, I want to improve my efficiency and I want to improve my pace. And the efficiency part, I mean, Carson's taken that and he's passed that test with flying colors. Joey helped him slow the game down. And you see how it is now where, you know, the game is just so slow for the guy and he's able to just, you know, explode. You talk about guys having an extra gear. I'm a huge Chicago Bulls fan. And when I was in middle school, Derrick Rose, I mean, that's my guy. So it's kind of similar to that where it's that kind of explosion. And then, you know, what they worked on this summer. But I think what Carson is naturally gifted with is his ability to finish the basket. The guy can do some crazy reverse layups and things of that nature. So it's just awesome to see. And you see some certain moves like escaping from the defender or splitting the double team that were put into practice this summer. And now you see the results showing.
He really does have a remarkable knack for starting his drive on one side of the rim, going up, and then all of a sudden he goes through two defenders and he's on the other side of the rim and he's still under control and able to finish. And that's incredibly, if you've played basketball, you know, that's just incredibly difficult to keep your eyes at the rim, to keep that kind of balance, and just the explosion to get to that open space, all of it together has just made such a huge difference. And those were all things that he didn't have last year.
Absolutely. And like the coolest part has been the dunks, I would say. I mean, that's been like the eye candy of it.
Which one was your favorite?
The tweet where he dunked on IU and they said, I'm not playing. That was really cool because like, even though there wasn't any sound, like it was just totally muted. Those 6 seconds spoke everything. And because it was 6 seconds, you could definitely tell like Twitter like loops it over and over again, you know, so you don't have to reboot the video. So that's the first one that sticks out of my mind. But I mean, you're talking about the Illinois dunk. You're talking about the Penn State dunk that I remember I was watching live. Like, I mean, this guy, and I know Purdue fans talk about it with the left hand, but either hand is fine. And he's got that bounce, man.
I don't think he's dunked with the right hand.
That's
crazy.
I think
it's been purely left, which he did it in high school too.
Okay.
And you really could tell because he wore that thing on his hand and like that was just the hand he went up to. You're not expecting it, I guess, if you're a defender. Then again, I don't think it matters.
You're not expecting it, but the first part of it, he just blows right by you.
Right.
And
he does tend to drive left more than right. So it's kind of a natural angle.
Not just the driving, but like, you know, my boy, Bill Raftery said he's a fearless little fella.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. And I think fearless is the perfect way to describe him. So we can talk about the drives all day long. I mean, you said it's Carson Edwards Day, so today's a national holiday. But we can talk about the drives all day long. But, like, this dude is going to come up, he's going to pull up, and he's going to hit a three right in your eye.
That is definitely the biggest part of his game, as fun as the dunks are. It's the fact that he's already taken 216 threes. His 89 made threes puts him right in the about top 60 in the nation. For made three-pointers.
Wow, that's a good stat.
Yeah, he's shooting 41%. Last year, he took those shots. And a lot of the Purdue fans were just, they were driven crazy by it because he wasn't making it. And then the World Games happened. And we were trailing against Israel, just trying to get into a medal game. Right. And Carson just went off. And he didn't go off. It wasn't so much getting to the rim. It was literally he just needed 1 second, one bounce, get into his jump shot, and it fell. I didn't think it was going to, like, continue. Like, you're not supposed to stay on fire for 8 months. But I think this is just who he is. Like, his off-the-bounce jump shot is as good as anyone in the country. Trae Young gets all the love, but Carson Edwards is making those shots. And he's so good everywhere else that you can't really just, like, you can't come out on him all the way because he's way too quick.
Right.
Is he a, like, we talked about this a little before the podcast. How good is Carson Edwards nationally?
I would say he's safely in the discussion of top 15 players in the country this season. And if somebody wants to sit here and tell me that he's a top 10 player in the country, I'm not going to debate you. I mean, I've watched enough of him both when no one's around and also on the biggest stage against, you know, Big Ten teams. The World Games you were talking about, I mean, he was special there too. I mean, I remember you texted me, you said top 10 guard. That's easy. Like, that's a shoo-in.
And I'm going to say he is a finalist for the Jerry West Award, which is top 10 shooting guards in the country. He's also he's a finalist for the John Wooden Award, which is top 15 national player of the year. He didn't make the Naismith finalist, but yeah, so he is getting the acclaim, but you always worry as a Purdue fan, someone who watches them all the time, am I being a homer? But you've seen your team go up against him. You've watched him everywhere.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, the acclaim, you know, with the finalist list that he's made, 110% deserved.
Out of the college basketball players you can think of, I think with Carson especially, he's got to just scare that living hell out of you if you're playing him.
For sure. How do you defend this guy?
you don't. Purdue into giving other people the ball.
But that's the thing, because, like, you know, you talk about the starting lineup, and they're just weapons everywhere.
They really are. And the biggest part of his game this year, even above all that, I think, is just his passing ability has grown so much.
For sure. He's got great court awareness. That's definitely something we need to talk about on this national holiday. The awareness and the vision coupled into one, that's some special stuff, man, where he can just drop it on a dime like that and set up, you know, Dakota for a cut or a screen or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's why I think your team is so scary, man.
I appreciate that, because none of us are feeling good right now.
You know what? Off days happen, and my team go through enough of them. And like how we were talking about, like, Michigan, you know, they're tough, they're physical. It's tough to beat a team three times, all that different stuff. I know yesterday was tough. I watched the whole game. Off days happen. Get out of the way now.
And that was by far Carson's worst game in probably 3 months.
Think about that. Like, isn't that crazy to think about?
Not only is it his worst game, you said, I think it's his first bad game in 3 months.
For sure.
And that's absurd. Like, he was his so season off has and been on absurd. Last year. Yeah, yeah. It really is. And especially when you talk about the assists, because it's even more than that they're assists now, because they used to be turnovers or they used to be block shots at the rim. So it's making even more of a difference, because now literally he's just feeding guys for looks, and he's doing it at the top of pick and rolls. There was the, I believe it was a Penn State game where he took a high screen and roll, faked like he was throwing to the outside, cocked it back over his head and threw a line drive to Haas for an open dunk. That might have been early in the tournament.
Once again, how do you defend this guy?
Right. And it just, the variance that he has is so unusual for a kid who's 19. He turns 20 exactly in a week.
Wow.
Do we need to worry about him going to the NBA this year?
I don't know. That's a question. That's a question you can speculate with your Purdue people. Because, I mean, I truly don't know. I've thought about this, and there's schools of thought both ways. But you know what? If I'm sitting here, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes as a Purdue guy, I think he's going to stay.
I guess because there hasn't been any real buzz towards it, and he is on the smaller side. But my God, I feel like this year he's definitely, like, he is an NBA guard. He will make it to the NBA. He will put up buckets in the NBA.
I never heard you tell a lie.
It's so amazing to think about where we were with him last year at this time. The Purdue fan base was, I mean, it was, the running joke was, ah, crap, it's bad Carson Day. Ah, crap, he's going to shoot us out of this game.
See, I don't like that.
there's a lot of the Purdue fan base.
I mean, like,
stuff that I do not like.
I think, like, you see what the summer did for him, and you see what Joey did for him, and it's not a coincidence, man. It's really not.
And we we give Joey a ton of credit, and he absolutely deserves it. He's great. He's talked to, obviously you've talked to him a ton. He's talked to me about how he works with people on and off the court. But Purdue as a university does this as well. Like, Coach Painter has been, and Joey was very, very adamant on that. Like, he only gets these guys a percentage of the time. But that's where the Painter hate really just boggles my mind, when we help turn these guys into, like, studs. And they have to put the work in. They absolutely do. Carson has. He's the perfect Purdue player. I mean, we haven't had a guy with that kind of athleticism while still maintaining that work ethic. As a Butler fan, I think that's our common thread. Do things the right way.
Right.
And he is, you know, he's an All-American now for it. And that's really cool.
Earned it, you know. I mean, it's just incredible what he's been able to do. And what's, you know, been cool for him is that he's been able to go into the national scope, especially when your team was on that streak, and really turn some heads nationally. I remember Spike Albrecht tweeting that he was the best player in the Big Ten. It's really not even close.
I know Diop is really good, but it kind of feels like they put the crown on him in January.
That's a fair argument.
And I don't know, Carson, there's a stretch where Carson put up 27, 26, 18, 40, 27, 22, 14, 28. Like, his off night was like 14 points. It's insane.
And then that just pops off the page. But then you're talking about the rebounds, and you're talking about, you know, the assists he gets per game. And you don't really have to worry about him getting into foul trouble. What the opponent has to worry about is his ability to draw the foul when he drives. Like you said, he's the perfect Purdue player. He's just a perfect basketball player, really.
Really. Defensively, he's very underrated. He can guard bigger guys because of his athleticism, and he gets up on them.
Yeah, and he's strong.
He's as good at playing passing lanes as anyone. That first step of his is, I mean, you can't even blink and catch it. Like, there's no easy passes around him.
When you're, you know, Purdue is, you know, kind of wading their way through the first half, the bench is scary, because then you can put Nojel Eastern in and Harms, and then you can have Carson still there at the two. I mean, who wants to see that backcourt?
Yeah,
defensively.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit, because next year Purdue's going to be obviously a way different team. Dakota Mathias will be gone. Who, by the way, we don't have to just give love for Carson. Dakota Mathias is now the lead 3-point field goals made in Purdue history.
That's incredible. But once again,
another Joey Burton guy.
Deserved, man. Dakota, you talk about a guy who puts in the work and, like, who wants to see his game get better. That guy's work ethic impressed me from the first time I saw that man step in the gym. Even last year, when I was just kind of watching from a distance, like, you could tell that guy's a gamer and he wants to win.
Yeah.
And who loves him? Bill Raftery.
I think Bill loves everyone.
Bill loves a little fella, but man, does he love Dakota. I mean, he should, right?
I think there's certain things about Dakota's game, especially, that are, if you're just a casual fan, like, you get the cliche of, oh, he works hard, oh, he's a good shooter, those things are skilled, that takes practice. But it takes so much practice. The footwork involved to stay on balance and make a shot like he hit against Michigan, the two-pointer that he did to step back in the corner. You were talking to me about this right before the podcast. You knew it was going in, and you knew it was going in because you saw him work on it. Every
last
one of those
week.
Shots. Yeah.
I mean, like, last week I saw that shot. I rebounded for that shot. And I, you know, got footage of that shot and took pictures of that shot. Like,
how many
times
did you watch him take it?
At least 30.
Yeah. Like, that's just one shot. It's 30 shots, you know, that's like 3 minutes of work for one move. One
exactly.
Move out of, you know, 200 to 300 variations. It's insane.
And for a second, I thought that one was a three. But, I mean, his foot was on the line. But, like, 2-3, it doesn't matter. It's just with those two guys, man, and, like, of course I'm biased a little bit, but if they're going to shoot the ball, there's going to be some way where that ball goes into the net. It's just like NBA Jam when somebody's on fire. Like the perfect example of that is Dakota on senior day against Minnesota.
That was an absolute just showcase.
That man is going to put the ball up, and it's going to find its way in the basket, and he's going to shoot 7 of 9 from 3-point range.
He's probably not. He might break into the NBA eventually. He probably won't right away, but he is going to drop like 40 on some like Euro League. And like, there's just gonna be grainy video of him just like dagger after dagger after dagger.
And you're gonna love that.
Oh my god, I'm gonna like book a flight just to watch him. His ability, especially towards the end of the season, he's been looking to be a lot more aggressive.
Absolutely.
And when he comes off those screens, it occupies at the very minimum three defenders. The guy he's on, the guy whose offensive player is setting a screen, and the guy who has to help because neither of them are right on him. And his ability to hit that pull-up at full speed, and he has gotten so good at it. He took that shot as a freshman. He took it as a sophomore, wasn't good at them. Also didn't get a lot of practice time then. He was hurt, wasn't able to get into the gym. Now that he has, it's locked down. It is automatic.
Yep.
Just coming hard off that screen draws so much room for everyone else. Purdue's offense is, Carson is a consistent. It's always there. But when Dakota's turned on and when he's aggressive, that is when Purdue's at their best.
Look out. And they're, you know, like I've said, like, there are weapons surrounding that as well. But what's really important and what really is cool to see as, you know, someone who's not necessarily a Purdue fan is the action they go and they run for Dakota. You know, you talk about a double screen or things of that nature. Like, you know, there are going to be plays run for him to get the ball with time left in the shot clock, and he's going to be able to make a play. And you know he's going to make the right play.
I say he's another guy. When you have two guards like that, which are both, they are the perfect complement for each other.
No doubt.
Both versatile. They both play a lot of defense. They both pass the ball incredibly well. And they both have this interesting, you know, they both work with Joey, and I know he's talked to me about this. They both got that little pause in their game. And so much good can come from when you just change up that pace just a little bit.
And that's exactly what he was working on with Carson this entire, you know, summer, really. And you see the dividends have paid off tenfold.
Yeah. Carson does it with his dribble. He'll be going sideways up at the top a lot, hit like that pause for a half second, then take off.
That's so deadly.
Yeah, holy, I mean, shit. Yeah, you can't, because it looks like he's going back into innocent territory and then he's just gone.
Yep.
Dakota does it with his passing. He's not quick enough to blow guys, but he'll get into the pick and roll, get into the heart of it, stop, wait for his guy to clear, and then find a clean passing lane. And they both, when that's working in harmony, Purdue is just so difficult to defend.
There's weapons, man. You guys have a really good team, and it has been super fun to watch.
You know we're going to get killed for being this positive after the Michigan loss, right? People are losing their minds.
I understand that, and I'm sitting in a camp at this university where folks are also losing their mind. Because
I'll give you a few minutes to – how's Butler World going?
Well, it's not good on Twitter, but then again, Twitter isn't the – place where the most reasonable people go. On senior night, we went and we beat Creighton. Keelan had 26. It was awesome. Life was good. Go out, you lose to St. John's after 8 days of rest in double overtime. And obviously, you know, the casual basketball fan will see what St. John's has been able to do this season. Winless in the Big East, they beat Duke, they beat Villanova. So
it's not bad.
That's, you know, Big East tournament starts on Wednesday. St. John's plays Georgetown. Some scary stuff, man. I mean, they could
scare
somebody.
You get the winner of those two?
No. Here's what happens with us. So Xavier's the one seed, which is whatever. But they've been really good this year. So you have to give them their credit, even though they're the rival. Then we lost to Seton Hall on Saturday night. So that set up a situation where they're the three seed and we're the six, and Butler plays them again on Thursday night.
You play Seton Hall?
Correct.
You know, if you're going to lose to a team, you might as well get another shot that matters more the next night. You'd rather lose...
I agree.
Lose the first one.
And the thing about Seton Hall is, first off, the Prudential Center has been a place where Butler has dominated them. Before Saturday night, Butler had won every game in Newark since joining the Big East. And, like, traditionally, apart from a slip-up last year on senior day against them, another slip-up this year where they beat Butler for the first time in Hinkle, Butler had owned Seton Hall, and now they've won three straight against us. And, like, you know, that's got to stick in your mind. My freshman year, Providence went out. They had two NBA draft picks on the roster, and they beat us three times in a season. You're talking about guys and Keelan and Tyler Wideman. I think they remember that.
Yeah, it's rare enough just to play a team three times. So to add a I mean, we saw what Michigan did third matchup against Purdue. They looked like a team that would never lose to Purdue.
Exactly. So exactly. It
changed just like that.
So people are freaking out. You know, folks are wondering, are we going to get into the tournament?
You guys and are going to get into the tournament, aren't you?
The only reason I'll sweat, and I'll only sweat a little bit, is if Butler loses on Thursday night.
Okay.
That might be a little bit of a reason to sweat, but I still think either way, Butler is going to get in the tournament.
There's not very many decent teams this year, and Butler is good. Like, you're a tournament team.
The weird part about it is that there's such a logjam between the third and the sixth spot, and even the seventh spot in the Big East. Right. So that whole year, unfortunately, Butler did not spend 1 week in the top 25 all season.
All right. So
that's Butler world. That's another story for another day. I'm here to talk about Purdue. I'm here to talk about Carson. And now it's time to drop the hot take on you.
I was literally just going to bring it up. You have been teasing me with a hot take for the last 2-3 hours since I invited you on here.
Thank you for having me so I can drop this scorching take on Purdue Nation. After the Illinois game, what's really cool about your Twitter is that you have active followers and you have people who engage with you. That goes for Hammer and Rails, but I'm specifically talking about you, C. Ryan 26 on H&R.
Yeah, my name's not good either.
So okay.
I give you shit mostly because mine's bad too and I regret it.
But you have an active audience and you have people that engage with you. And I can't tell you who this person was or, you know, if he was a Purdue fan or what. But after the Illinois game, I remember I was sitting in the library here at school and I saw some dude say that Carson Edwards is better than Trae Young. And that is such a fact. If I'm going, you know how in 2K there's like a fantasy draft. Sometimes you can do a season. If I'm thinking like, who do I want to be my guard? And, you know, those are the best two guys on the board. And we can talk about Jalen Brunson, and that's another discussion. I would rather have Carson over Trae Young for sure. And the coolest part about it is that Carson doesn't need a ticker to, you know, tell you when he does stuff.
Okay, first of all, I think you're a little biased.
I may be, but you got to think about it in the team concept.
It's different situations. Trae Young is obviously, he is the team. And that kind of distorts things a lot because there haven't been many college players in the history of college basketball that have been asked to do or let to do as much as he has. According to KenPom, Player of the Year standings, Trae Young is number one. Carson Edwards is number 10.
See, I don't know about all that.
There's a fairly big difference. It's Trae Young at 1.525 rating. I don't know what that means.
Okay. Thank you for proving my point.
Carson's is 1.202. I don't know what either of those things mean. I just know that Trae Young's score is higher. Also,
because he has to.
I'm going to throw this in the trash because Ethan Happ is the sixth best player in the country.
There you go. So I know people like use KenPom and obviously that guy created a formula that, you know, works. But if I'm just thinking about if I'm on 2K and I want to build a fantasy team where I can draft one of those two guys and have one of them be one of the centerpieces of my team, I'm going with Carson every day, twice on Sunday.
I don't think you're crazy. I don't think it's super far off. Trae Young is shooting 36% from three. He's taken 305 attempts.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
That's a crazy amount.
You know how many L's Oklahoma's taken? You know how many L's that Oklahoma has taken?
Oh,
a lot.
Yes. Yeah. His assist rate is 49%.
Carson can do that too. Does Trae Young rebound like
you literally
Carson?
Have to have the ball in your hand every time. He shoots 34% of the time and assists 49% of the
That's ridiculous, and I don't think that's sustainable.
I get what you're saying. I think you could talk me into a point where I like Carson's physicality more. I like his body more.
For sure.
I like his shot selection more. I don't know if going forward, I think Trae Young is going to be a little bit more coveted in the eyes of the NBA. I think what he's doing is incredible.
What he did was incredible.
What?
What he did. He was scorching the earth. You have to sit there and give the guy credit. But my friend, Dan Dockage, always says water finds its level.
What podcast do you think we're on here?
I'm from the region.
Dan Dockage is gospel.
Dan Dockage is from the region. We're both region guys. We took a selfie together in Portland. Okay. Water does find its level. And guess what? Water may find its level, but Carson is still rolling. Is not going to completely submerge him. I've seen Oklahoma take enough losses.
There's a lot. They lost six straight. Seven of eight. There's a lot of losses. I think you could definitely argue that he's been the better player the last 10 games of the season. There's a lot. Wow. I wasn't prepared for this. Trey Young has gone 1-for-9 for 3, 2-of-11. Then he goes 6-for-9 against Kansas State, 1-of-5, 3-of-10, 0-of-9, 1-of-8, 4-of-10, 2-for-14.
Thank you.
That is not ideal.
Exactly.
That is not.
And, you know, what I've been thinking about.
He's playing 2K in a real world.
Examining, and he thinks the sliders are up, but they're not. And I've been examining, you know, how important it is for teams to win, for guys to earn accolades. And I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how many losses Oklahoma has, but Purdue continues to win, and Carson is such a huge part of that.
Oklahoma's 18-12.
There you go. That is not ideal. You know what Butler is? 19-11.
I mean, the Big 12 is tough. There's some pretty good teams in there.
Yes. Oh, don't get me started on this one.
They're both better than the Big 10.
If you want to sit here and you want to tell me that the Big 12 is better than the Big East, I'll give you that.
Okay.
But the Big East is strong.
Like, this thought excites me. It feels weird. It feels a little perverse.
You,
I don't know if I should be looking at it, but
you love, you know, the opinions are that of the beer I just drank. I want you to take that alcohol thing and think about it this way. It is a take that I've been thinking about for quite some time, and as fine wine does, it has aged in my mind. And Oklahoma continues
a little bit.
Yes, Oklahoma continues to take L's, and apart from a minor slip up against a team that's scorching hot right now in Michigan yesterday, they lost. That, guess what? That happens.
Oklahoma has the 29th best offense. Purdue has the 3rd, according to Ken Palm.
So
you might get me. I might be chugging that wine.
You can talk about individual, and that's one argument. But once again, I'm talking about in the team concept of everything. And you know
I mean, if you're going to take over a game like that, it's, if you're going to make every play, the results matter a lot.
That's and Trae Young was super, super high. You know, I had the chance to see him in Portland a little bit, and then he's come back down to earth. I mean, you just read those numbers from 3.
He came down to earth like a meteor.
Exactly. And what's Carson been doing? Carson was steady, 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 and then he just kept rising.
Look, like I said, I'm going to need a little time to let that soak in, but you might have me.
That's incredible.
That's incredible.
I was thinking about that when it was, I remember it was the tweet that was at you, and I know you're Mr. Twitter, and like your mentions are probably flooded for both good reasons and bad, but I was thinking about that. Like, who would I want on my team?
Huh.
And then, I mean, I saw Jalen Brunson play in high school, and I knew that guy was a killer, back in like 2013, 2014.
Yeah, I really like his, he's like the antithesis of what Trae Young is.
Exactly. So, and if you want to sit here and you want to tell me that you want Jalen over Carson, that's fine. But
I'm pretty happy.
I'm pretty happy. I would be too. I mean, you can't
there's
you,
a lot
that,
of,
pick
there
your poison.
A lot of dominoes that fell to get Carson to come, and I'm very happy with all of them.
You got to pick your poison. And, you know, if you want to sit here and you want to tell me you want to pick Jalen Brunson, or if you want to pick Carson, that's cool. You can't go wrong either way. But Trae Young can shoot you into games, and he can shoot you out of games.
Yeah, you know,
that was Carson
last
year,
right? Carson and Jalen have in common?
What's
top
that?
Top three offenses.
But they're a huge part of it.
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah. They created top three offenses. Trae Young has the, like, 30th best.
Not only can Carson score, and not only can, you know, he will do everything that we talked about inside, outside, he can also distribute for others, like how we were talking about. And, you know, he's going to, you know, fill up the stat sheet a little bit with the rebounds and also add a few assists a game. That is a special player.
I'm with you. All right. All right. I have one final question for you. And this
scorching
might be
hot takes.
This might be the toughest question. I don't know if you'll have an answer for it.
We'll see.
Who is your favorite Carson Edwards? Carson Edwards, the basketball player? Or Carson Edwards, the GIF? Because there have been some phenomenal ones, and they keep coming out. Everyone has forgotten about the cheerleader one.
Oh, I didn't.
That one was great. The dunks are incredible. The I'm not playing is incredible. But that harms Jif. Mark Titus wrote about it on The Ringer today. Jif of the year.
Oh, okay. Oh, for sure.
It's so good.
We got I thought you, player. I'm laughing. Player, for sure.
I don't know.
I know gifts live are eternal.
Is it gifts or gifs? I'm going to call them gifs. I don't care what you say, but is it gifs?
Okay.
Just so I know.
I'm going to say gif because that's what I've heard, but a gif doesn't
I'm
hang.
I'm sure you're more right than I am.
A gif does not hang. Stubborn. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Okay. A gif does not hang in the banner. One day, that in the rafters.
We have really nice scoreboards now.
Oh, okay. One day, that man's jersey is going to be hung up in the rafters.
One man.
And there you go. Rightfully so. I thought you were going to say Carson Edwards a player or Carson Edwards the guy. And that's why I was laughing when you stunned me with gift. But it's not just the cheerleader gift that was cool. It was like there was a reporter that put together a package, like talking to Isaac and Carson about it. And that was one of the best videos of the entire year. And before the crossroads, when the guys were warming up, I was taking some pics of Carson and Dakota, and he came up to me and said, "What's up?" And I said, "I know you're Twitter famous now." And he said, "No, stop that, Jim." And I was like, "No, I'm not talking about your followers. I'm talking about the cheerleader thing." He was like, "Oh yeah, that was weird." But that one, you know, from the Penn State game, I mean, that you saw how viral it went. I mean, CJ Zero, he's awesome with that stuff, and he gets it up so quick. But like, I mean, that's eternal, but we can remember, you know, social media, and we can talk about that stuff all day long, and you know I love Twitter, but what that guy has been able to do on the basketball court this year has just been nothing short of phenomenal.
All right, that's a great way to wrap up Carson Edwards Day. Have- Jimmy, thank you for coming on again. I am Casey Bartley with Hammer and Rails. You are Jimmy LaFakis for the Butler Collegian. You got any plugs, anything you want to show, anything you're writing about?
I have a lot of hot takes.
Yeah, really good hot takes.
So, you know, I understand that Purdue fans don't care for Butler too much, which I guess
no,
if
we
I was,
like you. No, we like you. We totally like you. It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right metaphor. It's I'm assuming like parents when like you bring, like when your kid brings over like a really bad boyfriend or something and you hate them and then they dump them and bring in the next one who's just like a nice guy. Like you like him a lot. Like you like him more than you should.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What you guys are.
So that's cool.
We should be our rivals. We should be battling for stuff, but it kind of feels like we don't really go after the guys you go after. You don't go after the guys we go after, yet it's still like the same.
Well,
you know,
I'm gonna,
soul of it.
I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna tell you that Butler fans wanted Eric Hunter and they wanted Isaiah Thompson. So there you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. And Eric Hunter came to Butler games, at least one. I remember taking pictures of him. He still follows me on Twitter. I don't know why. But that was one. Eric Hunter and Isaiah Thompson, but especially Eric Hunter was the one that Butler fans really wanted because you know he's an indie guy.
Well, so then you know what I like best about Butler? We compete for the same guys and we win.
There you go. Anyway, I was going to say my piece in the Collegian this week is more of a timeline about how Butler has never won a Big East tournament game. Oh, rock snap. On. Go Dogs. It were and 0 for 4.
That's a nice little reverse jinx. Well, best of luck to Butler since actually, go ahead, knock off Villanova. That'll help us. Anyone else in the top Big East, go and run at it. It'll
gotta
make
be
our win look better.
Gotta be Seton Hall first, my guy.
Beat them all.
That's a tall
take
task.
Them all down.
And remember my hot take from tonight. I know you won't forget it. I want you to ruminate on
that. It's
going to
be in the header. It's going to be prominently featured.
Jimmy LaFakis, the guy with the weird Twitter handle, says that Carson Edwards is better than Trae Young.
JJLII 30 on Twitter.
You got it.
Also check out his Instagram, all that. Give him a follow. Check in for player recaps this week on Hammer and Rails when I get to them. Thank you for listening. I'm Casey Bartley. See ya.
Thanks.